Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Newsmakers Podcast. This is Kyle Gargaro, editorial director of the ECHR News. Today, we're talking with Chris Hunter, who has been all around the HVAC industry. Chris has been an HVAC contractor, HVAC consultant, and now works with Service Titan. He's a good brain to pick. So welcome back to the podcast, Chris.
Hey, thanks for having me, Kyle. Always love getting to visit with you and adding value to the industry any way I can.
Great. Absolutely. I'm still considering this the beginning of 2022, right? So I kind of wanted to dive into what contractors should be doing at the beginning of the year. One item, I assume, is setting goals for the year. Think back to when you were in the contracting game. How did you go about that every year?
Yeah, great question. And every time I talk to contractors, this is probably one of my biggest recommendations and my favorite thing to talk about of all, honestly. And I'm pretty passionate about a lot of areas, but the subject of annual planning or success planning, as we like to call it. So let me take you back just a little bit, Kyle. So I never forget, I joined the Service Nation Alliance, and they invited me to an advisory board call. And on the first call, you know, I didn't know what to expect here. I was a small company, you know, maybe doing like $1.5 million, you know, in residential sales. And I joined that call and they start asking me about goals. And I'm like, have enough money in my bank account to make payroll. That's a big goal.
There you go.
You know, don't go out of business, you know, because I don't know what else I want to do if this doesn't work. But it really was an eye-opener, like, holy smoke. You mean there's actually, I should be doing more. This is a true business now. I'm not just a technician, you know, trying to do this thing. So I met Ben Stark, and Ben Stark taught me about, and all of us there in that group, about annual planning. He had been doing annual planning for years with his company. And really, this is a process. And it's one that I grew to love. It's one that I grew to see massive success from doing, and now one that, you know, we even teach, you know, through our school and consulting there with GoTime Success Group. But yeah, I'd love to dive in it with you if that's where we want to go on what is annual planning and kind of the process to it, if you'd like.
Yeah, if you just give me the nuts and bolts would be great.
Okay, yeah. So here's the first thing with the whole thing and setting the goals, you really need to take a couple days. This is probably the most important couple days that you can get offsite. Don't do it at your office. Let's go rent a hotel or, you know, go to the next town over, whatever it takes, and just have a dedicated time to focus on your business. And when we do this, the first thing that we always start with is, hey, what is your mission and your vision for being in business? You know, why did you even start this thing, and where do you see it going? And we try to even teach them to dream a little bit. All right, what's that look like 3 years from now, 5 years from now, and 10 years from now? And one thing that I learned from Ben and from a lot of other very successful people, it was to begin with the end in mind. And that meant, you know, all right, if you've got a vision for, you know, exiting this company in 10 years, and you want to get to this level, that's great. Let's start there and reverse engineer this thing. But we always start with the fundamentals, you know, the why of the business, the core values, and the vision of where you're going with it. So that's really the start. And then after that, we dive into the data. And this is why I love, you know, I know I'm with Service Titan now and helping them, but I've been a big fan of software and being able to get your data really fast anytime that you want it. But what we do is we take the data of what happened last year and we start to break it down between each month, how many calls we ran, what was the average ticket, and what was the outcome. And from there, now we can set our goals to what we want for the next year. So, and contractors all the time are like, okay, what are the goals that I should set? Well, that's really up to you. But if we start at the very basics, if you set a revenue goal and you set a profit goal, then you can reverse engineer again. We can break this down to, okay, if we want to hit $5 million, what does that mean? How many calls do we need to get if we have an average ticket of, you know, $375 on service and, you know, a $10,000 install average ticket, how many calls do we need to get in each one of these months? And from there, okay, marketing wise, what does that mean? We need to produce, you know, leads. You know, if we're closing 50% of our sales leads for installs, you know, we need to generate X number of leads on this. So that's the fundamentals. Let's start with the vision, mission, core values. Then let's dive into the data. And yeah, any thoughts on that? Do you do anything like that, Kyle, as well?
Yeah. Of course. You gotta set goals, or else you're out at sea, right? I was curious. Is this just kind of a solo thing? Is it your executive team? Is it your right hand guy? Or because obviously you want the entire company to buy into it. So when do you bring them in, and how involved are they?
So I love bringing my team in on this, especially the core group of leaders in on this. And in fact, it's a must. And really, there's two steps to this. So one, you know, as you're going through this planning session, and I can tell you a few more steps that we do after this, but you're going through it with your core leaders. But the next part is to go back and to be able to share this thing with your team and to make it living, breathing throughout the year. You know, a lot of people may set goals, and then once they set them off, they never share it with their team, or worse, they share it with their team, then they never revisit it. And where does that lead? You know, so definitely bring your team in. And I never forget John Maxwell. He said a quote that stuck with me for a long time, but it was basically never have the meeting unless you can have the meeting before the meeting. And the thought was always get the key people's buy-in, and then the influencers, then they can actually help influence when you do have the broad meeting of, hey, this is our goals, this is where we're going. But if you have that key group of people that go out there with you and they're painting the picture of where we're going, what it means to your team, be a whole lot easier to achieve.
You want them pulling in your direction, not the opposite direction, right?
That's exactly right.
Now, do you look at, obviously you're talking about, you look at, you know, how many runs we made, how much profit we made on each, but do you look at the industry as a whole and, hey, the industry had a great year last year, you know, with COVID and the importance of IAQ. Do we think that's going to happen in 2022, and do we plan around that? Or are you just focused in on your one piece of the pie there, wherever your business is located?
So the next piece of this whole puzzle ties right into that. So we do what's called a SWOT analysis. You know, we're analyzing the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities, and the threats, you know, and that could be internal or external. And let's face it, COVID, you know, that was it's still a threat. We don't know what's out there, but it's also been a huge opportunity if we think about it. I mean, contractors have done better than ever the last, you know, year and a half to 2 years. In fact, this last year saw some data that, you know, contractors in general were up 24% over year over year. I mean, that's phenomenal. But I want to caution people about something that I'm seeing a little bit. I hate to say this, but some people got a little fat and lazy, if I may. And what I'm saying is there was all these PPE loans, you know, all this money that was available, everybody was at home. So the work was there, the calls were up, everything's up. And it's real easy to get pretty complacent. You know, all of a sudden you start adding to your overhead and different things like that. And now that stuff is kind of coming to the end, excuse me, a lot of contractors are kind of tightening back up, like, uh-oh, wait a minute. We've been really busy last year. Things have been really well, but now the money's kind of starting to dry up. And as we know, inflation has kind of hit. So when we're analyzing these strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, it's important to think about what's happening external, like the inflation, the manufacturers raising prices left and right, and how we're reacting to that. And then also the opportunities. You know, I mean, if some people aren't reacting and they're not getting smarter and leveraging technology and things like that to operate smoother, there's going to be some companies that are able to be purchased or consolidated, things like that. So going through that SWOT analysis is pretty key.
And I felt like another thing that kind of went under the radar too a little bit is when you look back historically, 2004, 2005, 2006 were great years for the industry as far as shipments. Well, you know, do the math, 15, 20 years later, those are breaking and getting replaced. And that, so you're right. The good times might come to the end, and which, you know, will hurt some contractors, but those that have a good plan and know what they're doing, could probably make some hay, right?
Well, when Matt and Michelle talks, I listen, you know, and Matt has been very accurate on predicting and analyzing those trends. And he said that this year, he's made a prediction that, hey, this is the year contractors need to kind of, you know, tighten their belt a little bit, because the data shows the shipment could be down. Now, as of right now, the calls are still up. We're still seeing it at Service Titan. The calls are definitely there. But in this planning session, it's definitely time to think about, all right, what happens if it does slow down a little bit? What can we do to go on offense instead of just being on defense? How can we still gain market share, even if things get bad? You know, that's the goal.
Would going on offense entail adding different services that you could provide? And if so, how do you go about that?
It could. Kyle, you know my story. I was from a small area, you know, and 25,000 people in my town. And I knew if I was going to build anything significant, I was either going to have to grow in services or grow geographically. I did both, but yes, adding services is definitely a way to do it. But I want to say that there's another way you can go on offense. So, and it goes even back to your article that you just published, you know, about the great reshuffle. I mean, I think the best way to go on offense right now is to double down and invest in your team. And I mean, because he who has the labor ends up winning this game, right? And can gather the market share. And when we're planning and we see that, hey, we need to do, you know, X number of calls in June, July in order to hit our goals, we've got to have the manpower there to do that. So to go on offense, what I would start doing right now is building out a bench, you know, making sure that I've got the tomorrow's technicians training today, whether that's in-house or partnering with a partner that does this. But even before that, to go on offense, to even attract these people and retain them, you got to go back to what we talked about at the first of the planning session, you know, your mission and your vision and what's in it for your team and you know, what are your core values? How are you a culture magnet to even bring them in? So I think now more than ever, you've got to be pro employee and think about what can we do to go on offense, which means keeping and getting new technicians and building new technicians. That's what we've got to do. We got to build them. So
and certainly money's always important, right? That's why people come to work. But a lot of employees these days are looking for more, right? They're looking for a good family environment, have a company that's doing good in the community, not bad or neutral. Talk a little bit about what contractors should be doing besides, you know, paying them a fair wage to get employees on board.
Yeah. So two things to this. So one, you're right. Money is important. And there is a lot of things that are also important. So one of the cool things I get to do here at Service Titan, I get to work with the data science team. And frankly, I nerd out, you know, when I'm seeing what they're producing. And so right now they're working on a deal about, they're trying to analyze why technicians leave companies, you know, what's causing this churn. And there's some small things in there that make a huge difference. For example, I don't have the exact numbers because they haven't published, you know, all the data yet, but one huge thing was the drive time that a technician has plays a significant impact in if they're going to stay at your company. So, I mean, there's small things like this. Well, what can we do to not take that risk, you know, if somebody is maybe a little further out and do things like that? We're also seeing an impact on technicians that are underbooked and overbooked. Makes sense, right? So if you're underbooked, you're not getting fed, you know, so you're going to naturally gravitate to who's who's going to keep the steady thing coming in? And the overbooking, that one's kind of a no-brainer. You know, I mean, if you're running someone through the ground, but the game has changed. It's no longer, I feel like in the past, it was serve the customer no matter what. And employees, yeah, this is just what you got to do. You know, we got to be on call. We got to run hard. Well, we still need to serve the customer. But now I think we've got to pivot and look more about what's the health of our team like. And you know, maybe it's not being on call. Maybe we need to be more strategic in how we're scheduling and we're interacting with our customers as far as opportunities to even serve them, things like that. But so that's definitely part of it. Money and small things, you know, we're going to come out with a lot more things that people will be able to say, wow, yeah, don't have them travel over an hour to go to work, or, you know, don't underbook under 20%, whatever the numbers are, that'll come out. But the culture thing that you brought up, you know, this goes back to asking and finding out why everyone wants to work at your company. And two, what are their goals? You know, so everyone's a different thing. Not everyone is just gung-ho on being customer service focused, you know, whether we want to believe that or not. And that's okay. But if we take the time and have a process to actually ask what our employees' goals are and what drew them to this company in the first place, and then we can double down on that, I think we can make it a whole lot better place to work at. And then, I don't know, have you ever read the book? It's called It's the Manager. Have you ever read that book?
No, I haven't.
Oh, man. So it's called It's the Manager. Uh-huh. And then it's by the Gallup or Jim Clifton and the Gallup organization. And there's another one that's called Wellbeing at Work. Same people. But things packed full of awesome information. But one really key thing that stood out to me there was people stay at companies if they have a friend. So if they like and work with a friend, they're more likely to stay at a company. So think about this. This could be two different ways you can leverage this data. So one, if we know that if they go to work and they work around someone they like and they're a friend, they're going to stay longer, they're going to be happier, they're going to serve better. Why don't we be really strategic in who we're pairing up with this bench of tomorrow's technicians? You know, because we've got to take and we're building the next generation. So why don't we be really strategic in pairing up people that possibly could be friends or very similar interests that would then bond together and make a friendship at work? That's one part of it. Number two, if they like working with friends and it makes them happier at work, and why don't we just double down on our recruiting strategy and empower them to go help us bring in their friends? You know, one of the best companies I've seen do this is McWilliams and Sons down in Texas. Trey McWilliams runs a phenomenal organization down there. But Trey's got an incentive, and I don't remember the number, but it's a nice, generous amount that if somebody brings in a friend to come work there, they get this amount. That's cool. But here's the kicker. Every year that person they brought in stays employed, they get paid again. So, oh, wow. So think about this. Wow. I bring in my friend Kyle to come work, and now I got paid. I like working with Kyle. And now, you know, let's say we're almost at that year's end point and Kyle's kind of getting a little iffy. You know, someone's offered him a dollar more an hour.
Sounds like Kyle.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, Kyle, why do they do this? But if I know that, hey, I've got $2,000, if I can keep Kyle motivated to stay here, and then plus I can go tell the boss that, hey, Kyle's got someone offering him a dollar more an hour, man, that's a pretty powerful incentive and tool to empower on your team. So I would encourage a lot of contractors to just plan on doing that, build a recruiting piece that leverages that type of thing.
That's a good point. I hear a lot about the referral programs. You get, you know, whatever bonus as long as they're there 90 days or whatever you want to do, but paying them every year does kind of join them at the hip for good. You know, that they're both invested after those 90 days, right?
Well, and I asked Trey, I'm like, man, that's a big amount. How do you pay that every year? And he's like, Chris, what, think about it. What's it cost to replace a technician?
Right.
Who's even going to find another technician? So I'd gladly pay somebody, you know, $2,000 or whatever his number was every year for keeping that person on the payroll. Right. So made sense.
That kind of transitions us a little bit to us. Obviously, we're paying people more now to get them in the door. Gas prices are going up. We certainly know the manufacturers are, you know, having their supply chain issues. So their product is getting more expensive. How do we calculate all that to raise a contractor's price? And then how do you explain that to the customer and your employees probably?
Yeah. Well, the good news for the customer and the employees, in the past, when you raise prices, it was a tough sell, right? I mean, you had to really like justify it and half the time they didn't believe you. The news media and what's going on out there has really made it pretty easy for us right now. Everybody knows that everything is going up, you know, I mean, everything. So I've found that a lot of contractors have had to, they've raised their prices significantly and rightfully so. Yet the end consumer, the customer has not flinched like they normally would have. And no one likes it. But let's just face it. I mean, if you've tried to buy a car, if you've bought groceries, if you've done anything, you've seen the prices have went up. It's just what's happened. Now, here's the problem that we've seen that a lot of contractors have made. They, especially in the last half of 2021, when inflation and price increases really set in, they did not raise their prices fast enough. You know, so every time that they got a price increase, if they're only adjusting their pricing one time in their annual planning session, oh my goodness, by the end of the year, you're going to get done. You're going to be like, wow, we were busier than ever, but what happened to the money? You know, where'd it go? And it's because they didn't keep on top of this. And this is where, you know, the power of technology and software and integrations with suppliers, I mean, can really help streamline this thing and having tools that you can update an entire price book in less than, you know, 5 minutes or whatever. It's a must. And you know, a big part in the whole annual planning process is analyzing your training programs, your employees, you know, their development and all that. But, you know, I used to be the hugest fan of saying, hey, there's several areas you must train your team on. You must train them on the technical. You must train them on the communication and the skills, you know, the sales skills. And then I was a huge fan of training them on their life skills, you know, as far as, you know, just teaching them to be a better person. But now there's a fourth element to this, and it really is training them on the technology or the software. You know, if they're forgetting to invest in their team on training how to update these price books or how to significantly move fast, you know, whenever this stuff happens, it's going to catch up to them, you know, and we see it all the time, unfortunately.
How transparent do you recommend a contractor be about the numbers with their staff?
Well, I was probably overly transparent, but you know what? That was our core values, right? I mean, so we were just that type of people. So I think it's good to be transparent. And here's a few reasons why. Because, you know, when you're not transparent, it leaves an employee's imagination to run wild. You know, oh, they think old Chris there, he's living large. You know, he's taking all that money to the bank. When they don't really realize sometimes that, you know, let's take it. You make $1 million in sales. Well, if you're lucky, you might have had 10% of that left over, $100,000 as profit. Well, chances are you didn't collect all of it. So you might even have, you know, 40,000 still left out in the field. You never collected, still going to pay tax on it. So, oh, taxes out of that $100,000, you know, we're going to pay 40 in taxes essentially. So now if I had $100,000 profit, I got 40 I had to pay in taxes. I still got 40 that I didn't even collect. Well, now I've only got $20,000 left. And guess what? I've got to save for next year. I've got to buy a new truck. I've got to do all these things that the profit helps me to do. So that's why I'm a huge fan of being transparent. And then on the flip side of it, when you do start doing really, really well and you're starting to grow, you can point back to how you're investing back and sharing with the team, you know, and that's why it's a great place to work at, you know.
Obviously, now more than ever, right? Data is so important to HVAC contractor. You talked a little bit about software and you touched a little bit on Service Titan, but for those maybe unfamiliar, talk a little bit about what Service Titans is all about and how can it benefit a contractor?
Yeah. So a lot of people even ask me, they're like, Chris, you know, why in the world you built your company up, you grew it, you were able to exit, you were doing, you know, consulting, you've got a training school. Why go work, you know, for anywhere? And the truth is, it's about relationships, Kyle. You know, so I started using Service Titan early on in my business's growth cycle, made a connection with the founders there, and then the team as it grew. And then frankly, was just doubled down on what technology and software could do to help scale. And I saw it, you know, I saw as multiple locations. I was able to run five different locations with one central office handling all the, you know, all of the billing, the call taking, the dispatching, all of that right from my one central office. So Service Titan was a huge part of that. So when they shared their mission and their vision, and I knew their core values, take note, this is a lesson for recruiting employees. Even though I didn't need a job, I was attracted to the mission. I liked what they were doing. I loved how they were serving contractors and they were building the technology for tomorrow. I wanted to be a part of it, you know? So I'm like, hey guys, yeah, I'd love to come help. So Service Titan, for those of you that don't know, I mean, I feel like back when I first joined them, a lot of people maybe didn't even understand what a software solution could bring to the trades, but now I feel like the majority of everyone does, but they're an all-in-one software solution, right? I mean, so they can handle everything that a contractor runs across in their business and make them more efficient. You know, we talked a lot about the technicians and how there's a shortage. Well, you know what? There maybe isn't as big a shortage as everyone thinks. The bigger issue could be an efficiency issue. And I see it. Like I said, I get to see the data and I'm like, oh my goodness. You would not believe the lack of efficiency in a lot of companies. And if they can just leverage a technology like Service Titan to be more efficient, to have a better customer experience, to be smarter on their routing, able to make sure that you have a technician, you keep that technician in the home for the majority part of the day. Wow. All of a sudden, you may not need twice as many technicians. You may be able to do the same amount and produce even more with fewer technicians just by being leveraging technology. So that in a nutshell is what they're all about. And frankly, they attracted several people like myself that have built and sold businesses and they said, come on board, help us. And they infused the whole organization with people from the trade, just so we can help speak contractor to the developers there.
All right, sounds great. I'm assuming it's servicetitan.com. We should be sending people, Chris?
Yeah, anyone wants to check it out, servicetitan.com for sure. That's a wealth of information. Heck, even if they don't want to buy a software, part of the cool thing that they've had even us do is develop best practices and put out there on the website. We built a Service Titan contractor playbook. And it's basically a playbook for how to run a contracting business. So people can check it out on servicetitan.com.
All right, perfect. Well, Chris, you always bring the good information. So I appreciate you taking a few minutes to kind of get us up to speed here on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, buddy. Anytime. You keep doing the good work you're doing too. I always enjoy reading your stuff.
Oh, thank you. Will do.